It's great to be able to introduce Peter. Peter's going to be coming up, and Peter Morris is going to come up and preach for us or speak to us this morning. Coming up, Peter. Peter's associate pastor here at Rock Christian Center. Has had a lifetime of ministry in Wath and so many areas where he's ministered. Different parts of the world as well through Shake the Nations. And so let's just reach out our hands towards Peter and let's just ask the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank you for Peter. Lord, I thank you for Peter and Pam. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the passion that you've put in Peter's heart. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, all the ways in which you have ministered to him.
Precious Savior.
And Lord, all the ways in which you have ministered through him to multitudes of people. And Lord, I pray that as he brings your word this morning, Lord, it may be a living word applied to our hearts and to our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon him. And Lord, that as he gives out, you may more than replenish, Lord, what he gives out today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Well, it was Jesus that said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And so if anyone is feeling a little weak and think, I need a tonic, well, get what God's word right into you and let that word bring life, strength, healing, everything that God has promised it would do. Let's go to the word right now, can we? Can we go to Psalm 89? Just a few verses there. Psalm 89. And we're going to start to read at verse 11. I know I'm getting older because I'm starting to need my glasses, even when I preach. I like to get them off. But I'm getting to the age now, I've got to keep them on. So there we are. Psalm 89, verse 11, and I'm just going to go to verse 18, and it says this, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. Do you believe that? You say, there's chaos everywhere. He's coming back to take the power, reins, the governments of the world. Amen. And every knee will bow. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Mount Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Do you know the sound? Have you heard the sound deep in your spirits? They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength. And in your favor our horn is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 15, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. What are we talking about? Well, of the sounds that the people of Israel were getting used to was the sound at their sacrifices, when music was played and voices were raised to the glory and honor of God. You read in Samuel where they heard a sound above the mulberry trees, and they knew that God was moving. They heard the sound. There was the sounds when they went out to battle. And they went to face their enemies with the sound of worship and praise. There was a sound in their hearts. There was a sound in the atmosphere. And things were changed by that sound. And the book of the Psalms that we've just read, they're saying, blessed are those people that have heard those sounds. There was the sound of jubilee. Does anybody know that sound? The sound when the trumpet blasted and the people that had been servants for years had a choice whether they wanted to stop under the authority of that household, that family, or they wanted to be free. You could be free if you heard the sound. And brothers and sisters, I want to say this morning that praise is not just for a Sunday morning. Praise is not just when we come together and our worship team, thank God for them, and they lead us in a sound. There's been a sound this morning, and our hearts have caught on with that sound, and some of us have broken out of what we've been through all week, broken out of the circumstances that have pinned us down, and we've begun to worship God. That's why the sound is so important. We engage with the sound and we begin to worship. Praise is not an activity on a Sunday morning, it's who you are. It's not what we sing, it's what you release in your hearts. It's what you allow your vocal cords to do. You are bringing what you are to God in a sound. And God says, that's blessed. That's blessed. You might have come through the door with all kinds of issues and problems and feeling low and downcast, but then you heard the sound, and instead of just sitting on your seat with a face as long as a fiddle, you began to engage the sound. And I want to say, God inhabits the praises of his people. If you want to meet with God, let the sound come out. Don't keep it bottled up inside. Let that praise, even though you feel broken and you've had an horrible, horrible week, let the sound engage the sounds that are in heaven. Do you know what the angels are doing right now? They're praising. Do you know what the saints that have gone on before us are doing right now? The praising. And when we come and we engage the sound and we begin to release our vocal cords and our spirits in God, we join with heaven. We're not detached. We're not just a church burn greaves cut off. I want to say, when you begin to worship God, all heaven takes note of the worship. And the Lamb who sits upon the throne takes note that his bride is singing him a love song. Glory to God. And heaven is filled with joy and wonder and amazement at the praises that are rising to God. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Jehovah Nissi or Nissi, the Lord who has victory. You are my banner. Jehovah Shalom, Prince of Peace. Glory to God. How can I be in the presence of this one and just be, boom, don't feel like worshiping. Worship's gone on too long. Oh my God, tune my heart. Get my heart in tune. Worship is not based on how I feel. Worship is not based on what I have. Worship is not what about tomorrow holds, because I know the one who holds tomorrow. Glory to God. So I worship him for who he is. My worship is because even in the midst of what the airwaves bring us every day. And I know some people and genuinely, oh, I don't put the news on, I can't stand it. That's telling you, friend, the state of the world today. That the news is so indifferent, so bad, that you can't stand to hear it. I listen to it because it alerts my spirit in how close Jesus is to returning. I begin to see the signs of the times that Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago. He might as well have been speaking them this morning. Things are taking place around us that should alert the church that Jesus is coming. There's the sound of people with deep heartaches. Some are going through the wilderness of suffering, fractured marriages, and broken friendships and relationships, let alone the wars and the rumors of wars. Let alone the polarized politics. And to think now somebody on our street in London, mum and two children, two girls, and somebody chucks that corrosive stuff all over them. My God, what kind of world are we living in? Christian, listen to the sounds. Listen to what's going on. I was listening to the news just a few weeks ago, and they were telling us that there's an asteroid that's coming so close to Earth, it's dangerous. And that gets some people in a panic. And I'm not being light-hearted and foolish when I say, I listen, I take note, but then I say, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And thank God, one of the titles, like we've just said, of Jehovah, our great God, is that he is our banner. He is our banner. Praise his name. You might think, if an asteroid's coming, I need a bunker, not a banner. Let me get into the bunker. We need to understand what that word banner means. Why is God being called our banner? Just to fill a lining in Scripture? No. We need to go back to the first time Jehovah's name was mentioned in the Bible as being our banner. And you go right back to Exodus 17. And in Exodus 17, Moses called God my banner. What had been happening was while the children of Israel, because often their sinfulness caused them to wander. Oh God, why aren't you taking me in? Why aren't I going straight into the promised land? Let me go and get the goodies. Let me get the blessings. Let me get God says, hang on a minute. Let's get the sin dealt with first. Let's get you back to your first love. Let's get you back to where your attention is fixed on God. Then I can take you in to all my promises. I can take you into everything I've said in Scripture when your heart is fixed on me. Hey God, why aren't you doing miracles amongst us? Don't just have me on a Sunday. Don't just worship me when it's going good for you. But let your life unfold as a witness, a testimony, that whatever you're passing through, however deep the waters are, however hot the fire is, whatever's happening in your life, you are a testimony of praise to your God. You are someone who always heaven can rely on, that where you live on earth, there will be a waterhole, if I can use that phrase, a place of refreshing, because they'll always praise me. They'll always lift up a sacrifice of praise. The Lord is my banner. Maybe you know the story well, how the Amalekites had come upon the back of Israel, and the battle was engaged. Joshua was sent by Moses to go and face the enemy. But this is what the man of God said to Joshua, the young man. He said, "You go and fight." "Oh, it's all right for you, old man. What are you going to be doing?" "I'm going to be up the mountain, and I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to make sure you win." Glory to God. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, with all my heart, I'm not giving a lecture. I want to say, if this church is going to win, prayer is the key. Prayer will unlock what you could never unlock. Prayer will blast off the hinges a door as thick as your arm. And there's not a devil in hell that can stand against a praying church. Moses says, "I'm going up the mountain. I'm not having an easy ride. I'm going up there to intercede." And have you noticed when this great man of God, he lifts up his hands and he starts to intercede. He starts to pray for victory. But have you noticed, however great they are spiritually, they're still a man. Still a woman, still with all the weaknesses of the flesh. And Moses is getting tired. He's had his hands up for ages, and he's getting tired. There's no condemnation for getting tired. Jesus got tired. And we know how when Aaron and Hur began to see this great servant of God, this man that had seen signs and wonders and mighty exploits, when they saw him getting weary, they didn't just sit on their backside and think, "Oh, well, if he can't do it." They spotted what was happening. They got up there and they began to put a boulder, a stone for him to sit on. And one of them got on the right hand. That's me left. And one of them got on the right hand. And they began to hold up his hands in God. Now, brothers and sisters, coming along to prayer in this church is not just about how you feel. Has anybody ever looked at the pastor and thought, "He's got that much on his plate, he must be getting tired because he's a man. And I'm going to get there. I'm going to that prayer meeting because I'm going to help hold his hand up. He's been praying for me and my family when things were getting tough. He visited the hospitals and etc. of which the two pastors are really totally engaged in making sure that when we go through our hours of need, that they're there. They're there to support. They're there to pray for us. And even in the secret place, they wait on God for you and for your family. And anybody ever thought they might get weary and discouraged? I'm going to go. I'm going to hold up their hands. I'm going to make sure that we all enjoy the victory, because the men of God have got their hands raised and I'm standing by them to support. Glory to God. The Lord is my banner. And maybe sometimes you feel, and maybe this morning, and we've already heard it said, that some of you might be going through real deep waters, going through things that you can't even share with us. Maybe issues in the home, maybe finances were just getting right and then they've all gone wrong because they're threatening redundancies or whatever. And we're feeling that, oh God, I'm never going to make it. I'm not going to get through. And while you're going through this sickness in the home, this financial situation in the home, while you're going through the wilderness, bang, the enemy attacks you. You think, God, if I was strong, I'd take him on. But I feel so weak. I feel that I've not just gone through a wilderness, I've been through a mincing machine at the same time. And while Israel were going through the battle, the enemy puts the screws on. And today you may feel just like that. Well, I want to say my first point, at least we've landed there. God as your banner means his purpose stands firm. You tell me ever a time in history when something has taken God by surprise. When the people have had to come to God and had to say, God, don't you care? Or haven't you noticed what's happening in my life? When God puts his banner over us, when we're in the midst of the battle, that banner is a proof that you belong to God. Every devil in hell recognizes the banner. And they know they can go so far but dare not touch you. You belong to God. His standard is flying over your life and over your home. And I want to say, friend, don't just be happy that God's standard banner is flying over this church. You're going to see miracles in this church. Do you know that? You're going to see God do the amazing in this church because his banner is flying over us. But I want more than that. I want the banner to be over your home, over your family, flying over where you live, so that every demon in hell knows if you touch that house, you are poking God in the eye. They're the apple of my eye, says God, and if you touch them, you touch me, says the Almighty. And I tell you, I don't want nothing in my home to be an offense to God. I don't want to be an offense to God. I don't want it to be that I'm singing like an angel this morning and then I go home and this afternoon, you know him, I'm for, and I pull another brother or sister to pieces. In my home, never. I don't want it to be that on my television screen, when I've been telling the Lord how wonderful he is, I allow them on that screen to blaspheme the holy, precious name of Jesus in my home. You're joking, aren't you? I can't stop it because I didn't know it was coming, but I've got a gadget. And that gadget means however much I like that program, boom, it's going off. Because they have brought into my home the discrediting of the name of Jesus, who I love with all my heart. His banner over my home, over Pam and I's house, it belongs to God. And I want everything in my home to know the touch of God. I want him to put his fingerprints over everything in my home. His banner over me is love. Glory to God. Sometimes in the wilderness of our sufferings, we become confused. God doesn't beat us down because we've said, don't you care? We feel as we're passing through these deep waters that there's something that's just kind of cut me off. I feel kind of cut off from God. Has anybody ever tried praying and the heavens feel like brass? Has anybody ever really got down and telling God that you love him and it feels like, bang, it's kicking you straight back in the teeth? It's hit the ceiling and kicked you back. Oh, brother and sister, let me say, keep on keeping on. Keep on praising him. And when the heavens feel like brass, break through them and enter the presence of the glorious King. God has appointed and anointed you to join with him in making him known to this generation. Do you think because you're partnering with God, God is just going to let the devil have a field day with you? Do you think that God is going to abandon your family when the Holy Spirit has been sent to work with you to bring glory to his name? He ain't going to abandon you, my friend. He didn't say that you would never have a problem, but he did say, in all your problems, I will be with you. I will not let the devourer devour you. Does anybody trust that word? I trust it more than any politician. I trust it more than a dearest friend. Because I know my dearest friend who intends to be with me when I'm going through deep waters cannot always be there. But I found in the middle of the night, I found when we've been going through our deepest crisis, I remember sitting on the rocking chair we've got and I'm facing our patio windows there and I've got tears rolling down my cheeks. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how to answer the deep crisis I'm passing through. But I've learned to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't just read about Job. I want to copy what Job did. And even though Job was going through the deep crises of his life, he said this, I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I know he lives. I know he lives. And I want to say in your home, not just in church, when the waves come crashing and the thunderbolts come flashing, I want to say, declare his majesty. Even in your home, declare his authority over all the authority of the wicked one. Declare his authority over the one that's firing the arrows. God never said the arrows will stop. But what he did say is, just take that shield of faith. Hold them up. Stand firm and see the greatest victory and the greatest blessing you could never imagine. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Do you remember her? She's in the crowd. And my friend, this morning, we're in the crowd. We're in the presence. But dare I say, there's something more that you need to do. She could have stood there all day and all night. She could have gone home and said, oh, he's a wonderful teacher. Oh, I had these kind of things running up and down my spine. That woman said, I need to touch him. I need to line myself up with his promise. And friend, sometimes we have to push beyond the crowd. And you have to put your faith into action. You have to get right under the banner of his presence. And you have to say, if I can touch him, I shall be made whole. Not I might be touched. Not I might receive. I will receive from my God His provision for the hour. And the woman was made totally whole. Praise the Lord. Secondly, let's move fast. God as your banner means He's with you through every trial. Song of Solomon 2:4, He has brought me into His banqueting table, and His banner over me is love. Praise the Lord. Where's the banqueting table? Tell me where it is and I'll go. It's not at the Hilton Hotel. It's not if you can get down to Buckingham Palace, there's a big table set. And you can feast till you can feast no more. It's not in Buckingham Palace. Do you know where the table is? David knew. You prepare me a table. Way, glory, I'm coming. Hallelujah. Best suit. Get the dicky bows out and the cummerbands. My friend, it's in the presence of your enemies. God says, I prepared a table right in the middle of your enemies, where the devil is scoffing at you and telling you, you're coming down. You're going to fail this one. There ain't no answer for you. It's all right, the pastor trying to encourage us. He's not going through what I'm going through. If he only knew where I was at, he wouldn't be talking about God's blessing all the time. Makes me sick when I listen to everybody else enjoying themselves and I feel like I feel. Brother and sister, come to the table. Start to partake. Don't come to the table and pick and choose. Well, I don't like that stuff. I hope they don't start shecking in our church. What's that foreign language they keep coming out with? Oh, they call it gifts of the Spirit. Brother and sister, come to the table and eat everything that God has provided for you, and don't pick and choose. I want to tell you, it's the most healthiest food on the planet. It's got the best vitamins in it you could ever take. It will make you healthy. It will make you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Don't come picking and choosing. Come and partake of what God has prepared for you. It's not even the pastors that have prepared it, or their wonderful, faithful workers that have been working since early this morning to prepare you a table. It's the Lord that has prepared it. You prepare me a table in the midst of my enemies. God, mighty to save. Hallelujah. God is not just the God of our yesterdays. He's the God of our todays. And He's the one that says, my presence will be with you. I'm fighting for you. His banner over you and your home is a banner of love. I must jump to the final point, and I'll not keep you much longer. But my final thought is, God, your banner means your provision will sustain me. Does anybody, I don't mean just, do you believe that? Do you believe that His banner will sustain us? You know, one of the logistics to those that are fighting out anywhere in the world today, you don't just send the guys out to fight, and the girls nowadays, you don't just send them out to fight, you've got to sustain them while they're out there. You've got to make sure that you can feed them. Send out the provisions. They're no use out there fighting, and then suddenly they've all run out of food and they've got empty bellies for the next few weeks. They've got to be sustained. And the logistics have got to get the food through. Philippians 4 says, my God. Who? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. My friend, if this church fails you, if this church just logistically can't reach you, if we can't come to your family, if we can't help in the situation, that means that your food, sustenance, help dries up. Never. Because God says, I'll sustain them. I'll get the food through. I'll make sure that they're not weak and faint. I'll make sure that they stand on their feet as warriors in the heat of battle. Glory to God. Our banner becomes our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Aren't you glad that you don't look to God as your banner, but then when you need something extra, you got to go looking somewhere else to find out who can provide for you. He wears all the titles. He is the one sufficient to meet your need in every situation. Glory to God. You need to keep on the track. And friends, if you feel, and we are not blaming this morning, we're just saying, if you feel that you've moved a little off track, you know, I remember, let me just go over here for a minute. I remember, you know, we used to teach the prisoners at least 3 times a year. And one of the things we taught them was, the quickest way for me to get to that pulpit is in a straight line. Boom. Keep your eyes fixed, keep your eyes fixed, keep your eyes on Jesus, and you're going to make it. But you know what we don't understand is this. When I start to be distracted, when I start to let my eyes wander, when my praises become minimum, when I only worship God because the going's good and the sun is shining and there's no more storms in my life, then come on, get them instruments beating out. Let me worship. When you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you worship anyway. Wash my feet. I hardly move them. Oh, I've dropped the. I don't feel like when I go to pray, it's happening. I don't feel like when I go to my bedroom and pray for my family that God will save my boys and girls. I don't feel nothing's happening. So I've just dropped it off. I'm a bit busy now. All you did, there's the road. That's what you did. Hardly anything. Watch now. I'm supposed to be going to that pulpit. I only altered a little. I only dropped a few things that I used to do. When my heart burned with passion for Jesus, when all my longings were to serve him and to cause him to be wonderfully rejoicing in my life, I only altered just a few things. And look where I'm going now. And the more I keep walking, the further away from that pulpit I'm going to get. That's why the passion of Jesus was to say to his church in the book of Revelation, you have lost your first love. And while you keep in that condition every day, every month, every year, while you keep walking in the road you have chosen, you're going to go further and further and further away from my will. Get back under the banner. Refocus your heart. Refocus your life and come back under the banner that I would fly over your life. Blessed are the people, I'm shutting down in the next 5 minutes. Blessed be the people who have heard the joyful sound. Who knows the music made by the Holy Spirit in our hearts is connecting me. Why is praise so worship and praise so important? In your homes, in the church. Not just for her to do it over here or him over there. Why is it so important for you? Because in the connecting of your heart in worship, God inhabits the praises of his people. It creates a zone for God to move into. Remember Paul and Silas in the prison? Man, if you didn't feel like praising God, it'd be that morning. Backs are bleeding. You're fastened in stocks. The prison stinks. The threat is hanging over your head. They're going to do away with you in a day or two's time. I mean, man, that's pretty low, isn't it? Everything's going against them. And yet Paul and Silas at midnight begin to sing praises unto God. Hallelujah. And what happened in that jail? Boom. God says, that's just where I can move. You see, we want God to do it all, don't we? We want God to do it all. Touch me, Lord. Open your mouth. Lord, I've been praying over this for a few weeks. Start to praise. God, if you'd lift this thing from me, then I'll praise you. No, praise me now. Praise me in your jail at midnight hour with your feet in stocks and your back hurting. What? Yeah, because you create a place where I can come. And you create something in your heart that I can work with. And when I come to that place, I will rescue you and deliver you out of all your oppression. Blessed be his name. Oh, it don't work for me. Try. Okay, I'm going to keep my promise. Hey, David. What? King of Israel. Yeah. Keep playing the tune. Keep playing the tune. King Saul had got himself into a right problem. Because of his disobedience, because of his waywardness, he'd left the track that God had put him on. He came from under the banner God had said would be his protection, and he was doing his own thing. And it said this about the king, the first king of Israel, that a spirit came to trouble him. When you look in some of the commentaries on that, it says the spirit of distress, of depression. And I'm not saying all depression is a spirit, by the way. But what came on Saul was a spiritual thing. And sometimes in our need and problems, it has a spiritual content. Not always. But you need to know whether it has or hasn't. And when David began to take up his harp, we haven't got one. When David took up his guitar and started to release worship, the atmosphere changed. And it says this, and the Spirit lifted off King Saul. Hallelujah. Friend, there's power in praise. You need to get God's banner flying over your daily affairs. The business life and family life of your home. We need to say, God, If you are still flying the flag, I want to be under it. I don't want to be confused by where I've been and the problems that have come to my life. I want to make sure I'm under your authority, Lord. And I readjust my life to get back under the banner. There's some tough days coming, you know, to the world. You do know that, don't you? There's some real dark, tough days coming. Get under the banner. Get under the provisions of God. Let Him minister to you. Even when the church can't get any resources through to you, let God minister to you so that He is your banner, so that every demon in hell knows who you belong to and won't dare touch you. Because God says, touch them, you touch me. Let's just stand, can we? Can you say in your own heart, God, be honest with Him this morning. God, I've let some things fall by the wayside. Lord, instead of my love and relationship with You deepening, it just seems to be ticking over. And I got to admit, the flame that You lit in my heart is burning fairly dimly. But I'm asking You by Your Spirit to fan into a flame the passion, the love, the desire to serve my King. Everything we are building on earth and the nice homes we're trying to acquire will slip through Your fingers faster than you can blink when the trumpet sounds and Jesus appears. Everything we thought we was rich in, it will be demonstrated to all that we were so poor. And the values that we built were for this world and not for the world to come. I want to say, friend, if you feel in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God that you need to get right back under the protection of God, right under the banner that He would fly over your life, then I'm going to ask you to do what that woman did. She pushed through the crowd and she came and touched Him. And Heavenly Father, we do pray that the things that we've engaged this morning will not just be another sermon, but it will be a refocusing. Looking unto Jesus. Nowhere else, nobody else, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Wonder if the worship team will come forward. I'm going to go and sit down. I'm going to leave it over to you. If anybody comes out, we'll come. The prayer team will come and they will pray with you. But don't go another week. Don't rely on your resources. But say to the Lord with all your heart, Lord, You are my banner. You are my God. I will serve You. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So help me, God. While they're playing, if you feel the need, come. Like that woman, push through the crowd. Don't matter what people think about you. It don't matter that they think that you were getting it all together. But it looks like an admission that you haven't. But I'm lining up with your will, Lord. Then you come forward. Thank you.